In recent weeks, refugees and asylum seekers who were moved from Manus and Nauru for medical reasons and have been living in Australia under community detention have received a shock. Letters from the federal government stripping them of financial support and threatening them with deportation. Professor Alex Riley from Adelaide Law School is an expert in migration and refugee law. He told Peter Burden some of the details contained in the letters.
The letters said, "We are now moving you onto a new visa, a pre-departure bridging visa, and the terms of that visa are that the government is no longer going to subsidise or support their accommodation, which they have been doing, and they'll no longer have any government social security support. They will have Medicare. So the final thing they'd say, that you now have work rights, which you didn't have before. And that means people are going to have to scramble to get work to be able to pay for accommodation and food and living expenses.
These are people that have suffered physical or mental need. Can you give some kind of indication of who these people are and what they've been suffering with? What are the extent of the sorts of harm?
They're people who were heading toward Australia seeking asylum by boat, intercepted by the Australian government and transferred immediately to Nauru or Manus Island. Some of them are women and children, or they're young men who are thinking we're about to start a new life. And then they're in this completely isolated place, being told that you'll never, ever go to Australia. So if you've got a large group of people, you're going to have a range of physical injuries. And then you have people whose mental health is deteriorating rapidly because you already have people, almost all of them, traumatised. Mm. And in that already vulnerable mental state, they then are faced with just being in an incredibly isolated place, not knowing when they're ever going to get out of that. The other thing to note is the minister was very reluctant to relocate people in Australia for medical help. So people were generally at a really emergency stage of needing medical attention. And it was then that they were emergently flown to Australia to get that medical attention. You may remember a few years back, doctors just said, "We are so concerned about their mental health or their physical health if they go back to Nauru Manus Island, we won't sign off to allow that to happen." So that's why people have stayed. They haven't gone back to Nauru Manus Island. They've been in community detention. And so now the government's gone, all right, what's our next move?
Mm. These are people who have had their housing paid. They've had healthcare funding delivered. They've had income support. They've had casework managers, probably the most crucial part of it. And with the exception of Medicare or some kind of health assistance, all of that is gone. And they have 3 weeks to find work because, by the way, you can do that now. And they're supposed to do what? I mean, how? If you or I lost our jobs, Alex, and we had 3 weeks to respond, that wouldn't be an easy thing. But these are immeasurably more vulnerable people than us, right?
More vulnerable, almost all of them won't have English as a first language. They have no connections in the community that would be helpful for work. They haven't worked for a long, long time. They haven't been allowed to work. There was no work on Nauru. Presumably before that, they've been in many years trying to flee their country of origin. Work is not something that they have had in their lives. To even expect a person in this position to go out and get a job is both cruel and unrealistic.
And to expect it in the middle of the worst recession that Australia's faced, in the middle of a pandemic still. I mean, it just seems to me that there's something particularly cruel about that expectation.
I suspect that there is no expectation that they will get work. The government knows this.
So what does that mean? You've got 500 people who, whether the government expects it or not, incredibly unlikely to get work. If the charitable sector is unable to step in, what happens to these people?
They're on the street begging. They're on the street hoping that some of those charities who provide meals in the evening, they'll be lining up on those queues trying to get food. And I guess they are in the parks sleeping. It's almost inconceivable. And I guess what the government knows is likely to happen is that the charity sector will step up and they won't let that happen at extraordinary cost to those charities, which are already overstretched, and all the individual Australians who reach into their pocket to help out or open their houses or whatever is required. So the government is just stepping aside, folding its arms and watching this unfold.
Professor Alex Riley from Adelaide Law School speaking to Peter Burden.